1:8 and at verse 24. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now the events that were going on when these words were spoken were very full of opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he too is very frank with those misguided Jews who thought they were perfect with whom he was dealing. And three times in very close order come these words, ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It's presented, quite rightly, that there's nothing worse that could possibly happen to us than that we should die in our sins. To die is the curse of God. To die is because we are human. To die is because we have inherited the disobedience, the sin of Adam. But to that we have added many sins. Our life is full of sin. And to die in those sins would be catastrophic. It is appointed to man once to die. And after death, the judgment. And it's the judgment that is in mind here. For dying in our sins, I suppose, is no different, were it not for the judgment day that is to come, from dying of measles or dying in some other way. But there's something sinister about this expression, dying in your sin. Now, what does it mean? If my mum wanted to be unkind to me when I came home and explained that something was unfair at school or somewhere, she would come out with the remark, well, you made your bed, you've got to lie in it. And though I wasn't good at making beds, I did understand what she was saying. I had paved all the way by the way I was behaving, both with my friends and with my teachers and with others I met at school, all the things I had done cumulatively had suddenly turned upon my own head because there were others who didn't like me or for whatever reason it was. I had made my own bed. I had better lie in it. I better take the consequences of what I had done. And if I hadn't thought about the consequences when I did it, well, that's typically human, but then that was my fault. It is true that when we commit sin, we don't think about the consequences. We don't think about what is going to happen. I was trying to say to Brandon some years ago when he first thought he was going to learn to drive, I said to him, well, driving brings out the best or the worst in people. If you're patient, then it'll bring out your patience. If you're angry, it will bring out your anger or whatever it is. And I need to say these things to myself. But if, because you're late, you put your foot down and you have a crash, you'll get there later than you were hoping to, if you get there at all. We bring upon ourselves the consequences of what we do. Jesus says, ye shall die in your sins. All the human race shall die in their sins, but for one thing. And if we think of all our sins, if we lay them out before the Lord one by one, then it is an appalling prospect. Spend a few minutes reading the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Once? Twice? I remember going home on a school bus. I didn't think it would be a school bus, but it turned out that way. And I was sitting upstairs, and there must have been 20 or 30 children. And all the time they were saying, OMG. And probably between the 20 of them, they'd said it 60 times. Once would be enough for hell. Not to take the Lord's name other than when you're praying to him and meaning it seriously is a crime against God. It's one of the Ten Commandments. However bad any sin may be, it's one of the 10 things you must not on any account do. And we've done it 50 times. Of course, that isn't the only commandment. Honour thy father and thy mother. But I needn't go through them all. We haven't loved God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul and with all our strength, which is a summary of the first two commandments. We are in our sins by nature. There is none righteous, says the Bible. No, not one. It said three times. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, and in Paul, quoting them. There is none righteous. I remember the first time I read those words, I thought, it's got to be wrong. I'm good. I wasn't yet a converted believer. And I really didn't have any idea, despite my behaviour, that really counted as bad. For some reason, we can be blind to these sort of things until the Lord convicted me of these sins. So to die in your sins, to die in such a way that you face Almighty God in judgment, with even one of them on one occasion uncovered before God, not covered by the blood of Christ, is the worst possible thing that could imagine could happen to anybody. You shall die, as we must. But the condition in which we will die will be by nature in our sins. And of course, sins get worse the older you get. The heart does become hardened, some people say calloused. The things that you've done often, they then begin to lose the sense of their wrongness. And you begin to do them freely, and you begin to do them frequently. And it becomes a way of life. And then you don't realize any longer that it is a sin. And they're multiplying all the time. Dying in your sins. And Jesus said to these Jewish men who thought they were so perfect because they kept the law, you proved to them, of course, that they didn't keep it, that they added to it. But he said to them, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am the Saviour, ye shall die in your sins. But belief isn't enough, is it? If you do not come to the Saviour, if you do not come and follow the Saviour, if you do not come and repent to the Saviour, if you do not look at his death upon Calvary and understand that what he went through at the hands of man, you are such a person. If we do not believe that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour, and not with a mental belief, just a mental belief. Probably a lot of people in this land, if you ask them, would say, well, I believe the Lord Jesus is the Saviour. So what good will it do them? What is called for is a close, friendly relationship with him. And that all begins, though we don't see him in our generation. And you remember that the Lord Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What is involved in belief is coming to him, throwing out all upon him, confessing all those sins, believing that he died to make satisfaction for our sins, to pay the price of them, to bear the penalty of them. I don't think it's particularly helpful, but it might just indicate. I did just grow up in the last school days when you could get the cane, and the whole school would be brought to witness the caning. It was done at assembly. I wonder if it didn't ruin assemblies for life, the idea of worshipping God. But the caning was done then. And particularly when we were young, I can remember that every swish you sort of winced. So what do you deserve in the presence of God? How many? How much punishment? And what does infinite punishment mean? But the Lord Jesus, on Calvary in that time he was there, took upon him all that punishment that was due to all of us and to all of those who believe in him and those who'd gone before who believed in him. He took away, he bore that punishment himself. We do not know what he went through in his spirit, in his mind. We can only see what happened to his body. But wicked men who, we had many of their traits. What made them wicked men? Were they liars? Were they adulterers? What was it? Why did they turn against God? Was it because they knew that if they believed literally that the Bible was true, they'd be completely wrong? If we do not believe that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour, we shall die in our sins. They will be clinging to us. They will be there before the whole of the gathered community of angels and believers. But they will be there when we come to judgment, after death, the judgment. But what a wonderful thing it is that sinners, knowing that they're sinners, feeling the weight of that sin and the burden of that sin in the face of an angry God, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to come as you are, as I am, into the presence of that very same Saviour who bore that penalty for us, and to be forgiven. God does not exact the same penalty twice, as one hymn writer says. First at the Son's hands, and then at ours. If the Son has borne our weight, our sin, the penalty for it, then we don't have to bear it. Substitutionary atonement is the technical name. He took our place. But it is the personal understanding that he took my place. It's not just something I have in the head. It's something I know in the heart about my desperate condition. If ye believe not that I am he, says the Lord Jesus, you shall die in your sins. What a dreadful prospect for anyone, because hell is unending. Hell is a place of perpetual punishment that can never be paid off and therefore goes on forever. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, that is to say, not just with the mind, but with every fibre of your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.